Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and the message is titled, Draw Near. I love these verses. These verses are ones that are very close to my heart because, again, they're verses that really speak to the obligation that we have in terms of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not something that a lot of times as a child we believe, well, when I say this prayer, I call it getting saved and bathed, that all of a sudden everything is going to just fall in line with what I need to do, and I'm just going to have this desire all the time to do the right thing and to honor the Lord, and it's just going to be so wonderful. So as long as I can get the hard part over, which is praying this prayer, everything's going to be downhill. Well, I got one part of it right there. Everything's downhill. Meaning when you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you become a target for the enemy. Spiritually speaking, if you believe what I said first, that everything's going to be a piece of cake, things are going to go downhill quickly. The reason being is that when you have come from darkness to light, the enemy disdains that. He knows he cannot take your salvation. Amen? But what can he do? Steal your joy and make us ineffective. Two of the enemies, these are the two I believe that are paramount when it comes to the lies of the enemy. Number one is he is a deceiver. Deceptions and distractions. So distractions, deception, same thing. Second is diversions. Distractions and diversions. What do distractions and diversions do to Christians? Distract them from what's important and divert them to something that is inconsequential. Why? Because if we can check out for 18 years while our kids are growing up, what greater way he can ensure that what's passionate to us does not transcend the next generation? If he can get me focused on something that's completely, absolutely the polar opposite thing of what God wants us to do, what's he doing? Effectively sidelining us spiritually. Tonight's message basically deals in that context. We can see the drawing near in the relational sense, in your growth with Christ, but also as the relational growth happens, what will we also do? Draw near to God's divine purpose for our life. I hope you found James chapter 4. Again, we'll look at verses 7 through 10. And if you are physically able tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Your laughter must change to mourning, and your joy to sorrow. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Father God, thank you tonight again for this privilege we have to be here, Father, to worship you. God, hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, so that the power of the resurrected Lord, our Savior, our King, King Jesus, Lord, might shine greater and brighter than ever before. Father, thank you that you are faithful in spite of our faithlessness. God, grow us, Lord, speak. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I always like when you have cause and effect scripture. I'm a black and white person. I don't like hidden things. I just love it when God's word lays it out there and you know what to do and the result of doing it. Amen? Bible says, when you seek me with all your heart, effect. I will be found. Doesn't get any easier than that, does it? You want to grow in Christ? Oh, wonderful. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Basically the same thing right here. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. The first thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse tonight, and is this. We cannot resist the devil until we submit to God. I don't know how many times I've wanted to smack a TV preacher in the mouth. And I'm just telling you this because they get on there and I see them selling these handkerchiefs, water, sand from the Holy Land, all kinds of things. And they shake it up like a magic dust. You get this handkerchief, and I don't care what it is, man. I mean, I bought one last week. No, I didn't. This is my regular handkerchief I got for whatever, a package at Walmart. I wouldn't buy one of those things. And what do they do? They'll show you, man. You just wave that thing, and you just shout glory, and everything goes away. I remember when I was young, when I'd go to the circus or a magic show, what would they do? That's what it is. Smoke and mirrors, what they're doing. First of all, if God has given you something, and you've prayed over it and whatever else, you'd be giving away for free. Pay for shipping if that's what it is. Why? Because you're in ministry. It is not a means for which you to profit and go out and get yourself absorbently rich in the name of Christ. I struggle with that, church. I understand people have bills, but I struggle with snake oil salesmen. And even I struggle with them greater in the religious arena. You want to preach messages and give people hope and life and light? You stick them on there and say, if God so lays on your heart, you send us whatever God lays on your heart. You know why? Because God's really good and God will provide. I know a man who God took home in 1983 in the summer of, you hear me reference him quite often. Do you know that he sold none of his tapes back then, or any of his books? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Keith Green. He said, I could not put a dollar amount on them. You could send whatever God laid on your heart. He would not sell them. He thought it was counter-biblical, counter-scriptural, and it was ungodly. Now, that's what I'm talking about. You know why? Because that's what I call ministry. Now, if you're a prophet, just call it for what it is. If that's what you are, go for it with all your might. If I'm going to be Anthony Robbins' friends, I'm not going to put it under the guise of Christianity. I'm going to call myself a religious, motivational speaker, and I'm going to open up my wallet and say, let's go to the bank. See, when you submit to God, we can't resist the devil until we're submitted to God. We can't submit to God with a personal agenda. If you and I submit to God with a personal agenda, it's never going to work. Never going to work. Your work ain't working out. Unless you submit to God and His desire and His will for your life, your work will never work out. You will never find the fulfillment in your work unless you're submitted to God. You'll never find fulfillment in your marriage unless you are submitted to God. You'll never find fulfillment and be the parent that God's created you to be until you are submitted to God. What does it have to do with? It's an emptying of ourself to take on the character and desire of Christ. And that's what true submission to God looks like. It is negative us plus Him. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What is the overarching desire of a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ's life? Should be to glorify the Lord in everything they say and do. So you, as a godly man submitted to God's will, all right, so your car tears up on you. You know what? That's about time I get the car that I deserve. So what do you do? Well, I'm the leader. I'm the head honcho. I'm numero uno around here. I'm going to go to the dealership, and I'm going to buy a car. Because that's what a real man does, doesn't it? Yeah, go and do that. When the tow truck comes out there, after 3 months of $900 a month payments, you're going to find out who the man is. The man's the guy driving that repo truck. So he's going to have a payday. And you're going to find humiliation. Why? Because you did not seek the Lord. And by the way, you better invite your better half, your spouse, to that party. Because you are a family. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens when you got a godly spouse. You know what it is? When I got married, my wife will tell you, she'll test every bit of what I'm going to tell you. I was a very active young man, I wanted to work really hard, and I wanted to try to be the provider and do what I'm supposed to do. So I'd find something, and I'd drag it home, and I'd work on it, and I'd fix it up, and I'd clean it up, and I'd sell it. And then I'd take that money, and I'd take something else. I'd go find something else, and I'd get it, and I'd come home, and I'd clean it up, and I'd turn around, and I'd sell it. Now, I didn't know at the time. My wife saw some of the contraptions that I brought home, and she went, oh, another thing. One day, I came home with a big steel box, stainless steel box. Looked like something Marty McFly and Doc rolled up with in Back to the Future. And she said when she saw it, and she told me this years later, she said, oh, my gosh, another something. That another something kept us from losing our house when I got hurt. God gave us that beforehand. It's called a Hardy heater. Got it for $500, and those things are worth about $8,000. And I got it for $500. See, God knows what's going on. But you've got to be faithful with what God has given you and blessed you with. You've got to be willing, as my wife did, to trust the leadership that God had placed in her life, even when it doesn't seem very trustworthy. It's hard to submit to God's purpose and plans when the fog of life overwhelms our ability to see through it. Amen? I love James, the book of James. Starts off, it bats 1,000 in my book. Why? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why do I say that? Because that is my life. I hope that's your life. As a matter of fact, the more in line with God's will, purpose, and plan, the more opposition I feel that we face. The more you're a threat to the enemy and his dominion and his territory, the more infuriated he becomes. The harder he attacks, the more aggressive he attacks, the more he tries to steal, kill, and destroy his three greatest objectives. Many of you have known from day one, he's tried to kill me. I know he has. He can't do anything that God won't allow him. Praise God, glory, hallelujah, amen? He can. He can try. We're able to see the fingerprints of his desire, but we're not able to see him bring to fruition what God will not allow him to succeed in. Because, see, God holds my heartbeat, my life. Praise God when we see even just what a year and a half ago, when I almost got myself killed in that motorcycle wreck, no business being on one in the first place, but the hand of God in his supernatural protection, not doing anything foolish, not doing anything that I shouldn't have been doing. See, we have an enemy that desires to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, personally, we got to understand that we cannot show up to a battlefield naked. And that happens when we're not armored up. We show up to a battlefield naked, and that's why it even ties in with this morning. When we refuse to hear God's voice, we put our hands over his mouth when we have this ability to hear him talk to us, Dad, God, our Father. Imagine if your little one, you're sitting down in your recliner at home, guys, and your child or your grandchild comes up to you. I wish everybody could see, but I'll get a recliner one Sunday and do this for you. And you're sitting there in your recliner, and your child or your grandchildren jump up. You know, small Alexander was sitting on my lap earlier, just sitting there. Imagine if they jumped up on your lap and you wanted to impart wisdom. You wanted to tell them how much you love them. You wanted to tell them, hey, you know, I've been watching, and I'm scared that you're running a little close to the road, and those cars go so fast. And right when you're getting ready to say it, imagine if your little one had the authority and the strength to go and to close your mouth as you're going to speak life into their little hearts and minds. Imagine how hard it would be as your desire is to do nothing but to speak life, wisdom, hope into their little mind that doesn't have that wisdom. If they had the strength and power to shut your mouth, imagine your heart as they did that. Is all you realize and you want to convey to them is, I want to speak life and I want to speak blessing over you, and joy and hope. But yet you can't even get the words out. Do you know that that's what happens when we don't read God's word? God desires more than anything else to speak to the most intimate of heartbreaks, of struggles, of battles. But yet when we won't let him talk, we can't hear, and Dad can't say what he wants to say to us. See, we have to submit to God before we'll ever hear his voice. We'll never have victory in our lives, men. As the priest, the protector of the home, we are the guardians we're called to be. It's not a position that we've chosen, because I promise you tonight, if I could unchoose it, I would. And I say that with all sincerity. I want to be the man that just listens and says, what do I need to do? Not the one who is called to lead. I can't stand it. Those of you who know me understand what I'm talking about. I want to be the support person. I don't want to be me. God's called me and he's positioned me here, and it's not my will, it's his. And that's why I recognize the importance, guys, of being in that difficult position that God's placed us in. And sometimes I even, in a very kind way, express my frustration at home and say, I wish I did not have to be the one to always be the ear that always has to listen for you guys. I wish sometimes I could sit and tell you what I wish things could be like, but I can't. I have to continue to be there for all of you. If not, what am I? What is leadership? What is obedience? When in my selfish proclivity and humanity decides that I would like to lay aside, to abdicate my responsibilities, if ever so in a moment of weakness, it is not something that's not a battle at times. That's why it's ever so important for us to draw near to God. We have to submit to him. Because only in that submission to God is there the ability to resist him, the enemy. And then the promise is that he will flee from us. It's a promise. Then verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Wow. So how do we deal with this cleansing of sinners, the purity of heart, the double-minded? Well, first part, it almost seems as that should be flipped, but when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, then giving us that ability to cleanse our hands of the filth that sin darkens our hands with, the impurity, the sinner, purifying that heart, the double-mindedness of us. See, when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. Where do we find ourselves? At the greatest of peace, though sometimes at the most difficult of circumstances, at the height of obedience. Because it's then we find ourselves in the greatest conflict with the enemy, is in that place of the closest fellowship with God. Well, we look throughout Scripture. Where do we find our dear brothers and sisters, 11 of whom died for their love and passion for Christ? All but John, the Revelator, laid down their lives out of obedience and submission and a desire to stand firm for the gospel, for truth, till the end. It is at those greatest places of persecution are found at the highest levels of obedience. Imagine Paul and Silas. When I went to Capernaum, Caesarea by the sea. Caesarea by the sea, that's where they believe that Paul wrote about the Roman soldiers, and this, what they consider jail cells, were very archaic, and very rough, very filthy. Would have been horrid places. And as he sat in that cell, it was right by, it was an amphitheater, I believe he would have sat there and been able to see out at the Roman soldiers guarding him. And that's where he wrote about the full armor of God. And imagine him and Silas when they are in jail together. Instead of the God, why? Come on. This is the payment for the obedience of service and submission to your will. What do we find? We find a declaration of worship in the midst of what would be so miserable looking at it from the human condition. Having been beaten, placed in a jail cell, their response is to sing praises to the Lord in worship. The same response we see in Job. The same response, in a sense, we see in Stephen as they're killing him. To what? Have compassion on his murderers. Whew. Draw near, the message title tonight. Draw near. What can I promise you will happen in drawing near? You will suffer adversity the closer fellowship and communion you have with the Father. But might I tell you, it will be a communion with God and a fellowship with Him like none other. And it will make the adversity, the trials, and the tribulations a sweet aroma like none other. Because you will have found that at the greatest levels of obedience, not disobedience. The second thing tonight in this message is seek the Lord and He will be found. Do you want to know the Lord like George Mueller knew Him? Do you want to know the Lord like Billy Graham knew Him? Do you want to know the Lord like Jonathan Edwards knew Him? Edward Kimball? I can throw out names you wouldn't know. Would it matter to Billy Sunday? Some of you might know some of them. Some of you might not. Do you want to know true fellowship of the Lord like Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther. 95 Theses at Wittenberg. Do you want to know fellowship with the Lord like the widow? Do you want to know a fellowship with the Lord like you desire? It's not found in disobedience, church. It's not found running from God's plan, ask Jonah. It's found when you take captive every thought, when you take captive every desire, when you take captive your wants, your wills, and your passions and make them a slave to Christ, that's where it's found. See, I had so many ambitions years ago. I still have fun. I cut up. My brother's a plane guy. I can sit and fantasize about getting in a jet and flying, and yes, it's some fun. It's a great thought. It is. Don't give me one. You probably won't see me again. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not lying. I'm just being real. Why? Because don't think for a moment that there is not a proclivity in myself to, at the right moment and a moment of weakness, to abandon my first love. Because I would be being disingenuous if I said that. I'm just going to be honest with you. See, that's why I know that I must stay in a place of desperation. As my cousin, I'll never forget, it's my mother's sister's daughter. I'd only seen Heather in a passionate love for the Lord, honestly, my whole life. So at my grandmother's funeral, I happened to have a chance, or actually, I'm sorry, at her father's funeral. He died of cancer. And we were sitting out back at my Aunt Susie's house, her mom's house, and I happened to be sitting next to Heather, and I just looked over at her, because I've never really had a chance to talk to Heather. We were kids and stuff, but it's been years. I just haven't had a chance to talk. We have families, and everybody's busy. And I just looked over at Heather, and I said, Heather, I want to ask you a question. When did you come to Christ? You've just always been a little different. What's up with your walk with the Lord? And she said this, I'll never forget this my entire life. She just looked over me, never missed a beat, and she looked at me and said, I don't ever remember a time in my life that I was not desperate for the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's like hitting me in the stomach. Because that's what I want, to stay in that place. I'm in that place. But I know what it was like not to be in that place. And I don't want to know that place again. I want to stay at a place of desperation. As a matter of fact, nobody even knew this morning, as I'm driving to church this morning, I'm talking to the Lord in my mind. And I just said, Lord, don't ever let me become complacent, apathetic, indifferent, unconcerned. Father, do not let the joy of my salvation be a fleeting thing. That through my own desires, my own wills, my own desire to serve, my physical feeling or condition, I'll tell you right now, this very moment, I have a blistering headache. God, don't let that for even a moment make me decide tonight to stop preaching early because I'm ready to go home and lay down. God, no, take every thought captive to your will and desire for my life. God, keep me thirsty to dwell in your presence. Terry McCallman, y'all have heard me reference him. He's the pastor's pastor in a sense. I listen to his music every morning, his worship, incredible worship. He has a song called I Will Dwell. It's a great song. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just an incredible worship song. And that's what I want to do. I want to perpetually dwell in God's presence. Are you at that place of desperation that your desire, your all-consuming passion is to dwell in God's presence? If not, I will just tell you tonight, you don't know what you're missing. Because there is no greater place to dwell. And then 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Some versions will say, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he might lift you up in due time. It says the same thing, but it's basically an admonishment and a challenge to us to, of our will, humble ourselves. Now that is a hard thing for us. Humility is not easy. I would encourage you not to pray that God would humble you. Let me just give you that small piece of advice, and I won't charge you anything to do it. I dare you to pray it. By the way, don't be so foolish. Humble yourself willingly under his mighty hand that he might lift you up, exalt you in due time. His time, not yours. There is no greater humbling than the humbling of God. Amen. There is no more humiliating an experience than to be humbled by God. That's the last point. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Humble yourselves before God, and he will exalt you in his time. Now, what is exalting? See, we think about that a lot because we often take the scripture out of context that says, delight yourself in the Lord. All right, the call. What is the promise? Delight yourself in the Lord. He might give you the desires of your heart. What do people say? Oh, man, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get involved. So God gives me lots of money and this nice things. Right? What would I see that as if I'm looking at it from a carnal perspective? Oh, God, I'm going to serve you as a pastor, so you give me a jet one day. And I can do a G56 or G60 program like Creflo down there in Atlanta, and they'll put me in a new Gulfstream so I can serve you better. Yes, deceiving myself and the truth not being in me. Amen? What is that? The proclivity of the human heart, desiring to railroad the purity of the gospel and take it captive to my carnal human desires dressed up as godliness in a greater way to serve the Lord. Tune into some Inside Edition when they met with Kenneth Copeland. Yes, I'm saying this online. I'm just telling you what the truth is. Watch it. Very heartbreaking, and you wonder why people don't trust what they see as the gospel. It's very sad. I'm just saying that because those things expose the fallacies of human warping of what gospel truth is. It is not about my will. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about me running around in a $60 million jet. It's not about me running around in a multi-million dollar homes that are placed all over the continent. No, it's not about that. It's about a man named Jesus who was a carpenter that became nothing, humbled himself, bore the scorn, the shame for us, conquered hell and death, holds the keys of life and victory tonight. Not so that you and I can run around like some West Coast ballers, some dope dealers, some whatever you want to call them. Health and wealth, fame and fortune. I'm sorry, that's not the gospel. Does that mean that God can't bless you? Absolutely not. God can bless you in the stratosphere financially. And you know what? God does that to some brothers and sisters. And praise God, glory, hallelujah. As long as you use it for his glory, go for it. Use it as an avenue with which to worship, honor, and glorify him. Do it with your left, not knowing what your right hand's doing. Use it in the proper way. Don't make yourself a mockery and steal your blessing from God. It's so easy to do. Brothers and sisters, draw near to God. Seek him with all your heart. Get up in the morning and get in God's word and let Dad talk to you. Let him pour his thoughts out to you in the morning so that you can be the husband that God created you to be. Ladies, so you can be the wife that God created you to be, the parent that God created you to be, the source of hope, the wellspring of joy, long before your kids ever understand the concept, conceptually, what Christ, God, life, salvation ever is, they get their view of God through you and me. Let them see a reflection of the glory of Christ, not a marred, warped perversion of what should be so glorious and beautiful. And if you're older and you have marred that, you know what's so beautiful tonight? You can repent before God. If you have the ability to repent, your children do it and say, I am sorry that I marred the reflection of the glory of Christ to you. I'm sorry that I did not act in a way as a parent that I should have. Tonight I purpose the greatest of my ability to try to right the wrongs of what I should have done, and I want you to know I love you. Now, listen, you may have a poetic string of four-letter metaphors that come through the phone, and that's okay if that happens. You've unburdened yourself in what God's laid on your heart to do. But as long as you do what you're supposed to, God's promise is that he will do what he is promised to do. But if we don't do our part, God can't do his part. Because blessing never comes through disobedience, it comes through obedience. Draw near to God. What is the promise that he will draw near to you? What do you desire tonight? I'm 46 years old. I'll remember it one day. Actually, I'll probably forget long before I ever remember it. Amen. When I come in here and I say, I'm 30 years old, not in joking, you know that it's long, I'm done. right? You're going to know that I have gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's going to happen sooner than you think. Y'all self-righteous Baptists. Can't even smile at that one. I'm just joking. If you think about the average age that Americans live, by the way, they lowered it. Supposedly COVID, get out of here. This COVID thing is going into the rafters now. If you notice, it's nothing. It's slipping. Okay. Oh, the numbers have all dropped now. Have you noticed this? Convenient. I said this months ago. It's just disappearing now. It's wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I said that would happen, and it's happening. I saw, though, the reports about it today. Yes, it's a real thing. I know that. But all of a sudden, it's just disappearing, and they don't know why. Let's not go there tonight. Let's draw near the Lord, and he will draw near unto me. Amen. What I do know tonight is what is real. And that's God's promise. God's promise never leave me. God's promise never forsake me. And God's promise that neither height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my 46 to 56, 56 to 66, 66 to 76. Let's just say that I live in my physical body to be an old man at 76 years old. Because of what I've been through, that's going to be very old for me. That's only 30 stinking years. You young people are like, oh man, 30 years is a long time. Excuse me, Mr. Brother Charles. Is 30 years a long time? Depends on what you're waiting for. When you're waiting on death, it ain't long, is it? Amen. I know for a fact, at 16 years old, you add 30 years, that brings me to my age. Do you know how long ago I was 16 years old, church? I remember the day that I got my license. I drove my mother to North Carolina the day that I got my driver's license from Bristol, Tennessee. I can still tell you what the car looked like and smells like inside and what the gear shifter looked like. 30 years is gone. Well, I know this is what I say. The next 30 years is going to go faster than the first. By far. So I'm not going to blink. Those of you who are in your 70s going, now wait a second, Brother Jonathan. My mom or dad go, wait a second, slow down the brakes. I'm right there. What I'm saying is, we don't have time. We don't have time to mess around. We don't have time to indulge ourselves in the foolishness of this world. We don't have time. Chris and Jennifer and I were sitting back here in a little Sunday school class, just right over here somewhere. It's somewhere right in this area. Just 13 short years ago. Every Sunday, weren't we? Just a few years ago. Now the kids are knocking on 18. Shelby wasn't even born. She's 12. What happened? We blinked. Draw near what matters and what lasts.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.